Heidelberg Catechism question and answer 117 and 118, the method to pray. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, since prayer is the breath of the Christian, and since you need breathing to live, the Christian who doesn't pray is a dying Christian. Yes, brothers and sisters, praying is a necessity. Last week you heard that prayer was necessary to show your thankfulness, that weird thing that sounds contradictory but is true. You need to pray to show your thankfulness to God, acknowledging who He is and what He has done for you by asking for more things. And prayer is necessary to get the things you need for yourself and your neighbor in order to do the work that God has called you to do. So prayer is necessary. So how do we pray? That's what you will hear about today. Our headings are, your prayer must be heartfelt, and second, your prayer must be humble. Our goals are that you will learn to pray properly so you will get what God has promised you so you can fulfill your duties to Him. Question 117. How does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? Together, first, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God who has revealed Himself in His Word, asking for everything He has commanded us to ask for. Second, we must acknowledge our need and misery, hiding nothing, and humble ourselves in His majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord. This is what He promised us in His Word. So first, prayer must be heartfelt. Your prayer must be heartfelt or sincere. Your prayer must be heartfelt because God despises insincere prayers. This means that your prayer cannot be rote, simply repeating a prayer without thinking about it. This is what you find in Roman Catholic churches where they have beads and you're just repeating one prayer 10, 12 times. Or what you find sometimes in charismatic or Pentecostal churches where they're just meaningless. Repeat something. Glory, glory, glory. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Without thinking about it. That's very similar to what the Hare Krishnas do when you see them running on the streets and they're chanting Hare Rama, Hare Krishna. Just keep repeating that over and over again. That's rote. That's meaningless because you can't think about what you are saying. That's not a Christian way to pray. You must carefully contemplate what your lips say. And that's why even some of the modern songs that you hear today, I had something up on Facebook where there's a man had 4 or 5 pence and he's writing the same line because that's what many of the modern songs are like. You're just saying the same thing over and over and over again. You don't see that in scriptures at all. You must carefully contemplate what your lips say. Well, does that mean then that written prayers are wrong? I mean, sometimes people have been praying some prayers for many, many years. Well, written prayers are not wrong. You can find many written prayers in the Bible. We say the prayer of Jesus. He taught us to pray, Our Father in Heaven. Psalm 23, we just sang a psalm of prayer, Moses' prayer, and so on. There are many such things. Prayer that are written can be helpful, and they're helpful in this way. They help you to focus properly. And you get to cover all your bases. your basis in your prayers. Sometimes when people pray just off the cuff or extemporaneously, just make things confused. It's a little difficult to pray that way. And you have to be careful, because sometimes you hear expressions like, and someone did a mock prayer one time, and I read it, and every line had something with just. I just want to ask you, I just want to do, I just want to. And there's no thought or beauty in the prayer, just repetition after repetition. The only thing is, when you do use a written prayer, that you work hard at focusing in what it's saying. So your prayer must be heartfelt, because God hates insincere prayer. Second, consider a passage that reminds you then of how sincere your prayer ought to be, or how heartfelt it ought to be. Psalm 43, verses 1 through part of 4. Together, vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God. You can't help but see the psalmist here, how sincere he is as he cries out to God. He expresses his need for strength. He accepts that his strength comes from God, not himself. He asks for God to lead him. He expresses dependence upon God. And if you read the rest of the psalm, you will see that the psalmist was really concerned about the honor of God, not his own honor, not what he could get, but what would bring praise to God. That's a sense of the sincerity that God expects from us when we pray. And when you pray sincerely, God gives assurance that he will hear your prayers. Psalm 145 in your sermon notes, verse 18 and 19 together. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The one who calls upon him in truth, not the one who has a fake cry. And by the way, this is one of the reasons why it's so horrible when people are crying out to God without any sincerity, and you hear, "Oh my God." That's insincere. That's a misuse of God's name. God will not hear that kind of prayer, because it's not intended for anything good. He will fulfill the desire of those who call upon him in truth. So then the next follow-up question would be, how do you become sincere then and fear him so that you can pray with that sincerity? And that's what all scripture leads us to, right? Leads us. How is it that we're able to get the gifts that God has promised us? Well, when the Holy Spirit works in your heart, you can then begin to fear him. Then you can cry out to him for help. And say, "Abba, Father, Heavenly Father, hear my cry," and he will give you what you need and what your neighbors need. So without the Holy Spirit, you can't pray properly. You can't pray, period. You need the Holy Spirit in you to pray. So when someone says, "Well, we all pray to the same God," you say, first of all, no. But even if you were, you say, unless you have God's Holy Spirit in you, regenerating you, you can't pray to the same God. And then you get the opportunity to tell them about how the Holy Spirit can be in them to help them pray. And then you use a passage like Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, which say together, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit then purifies your prayers. He works in you to pray. Even if you pray foolishly, he cleans up your prayers. So what comes out from your heart before God is an acceptable prayer. As the Holy Spirit cleans up your insides, cleans up your prayer, then your lips come with that what is sincere. First thing then, sincerity or heartfelt prayers. The second thing that regulates our prayers in terms of the method of how we pray is humility. You pray with humility. And in this, we'll deal with the two parts of Catechism question 117. One, you must pray in a humble way, not in an arrogant way. Only by being humble will God hear your prayers and give you what is good for you and for your neighbor. God said so. He said so through King Solomon. And what do we know about Solomon? He was the wisest man who ever lived. One of the fathers of the Lord Jesus himself. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14, together, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. You have to humble yourselves and pray. And why would you humble yourself? Because you're conscious of your sin and your weakness when you come to God. You don't come to God and say, I am Canadian. I should be higher up there in the list of people you listen to. Or look at the color of my skin. Or look at my qualifications. I have a PhD. No. He'll say, you have S-I-N-S after your name. That's your degree. And that's why you have to come in humility. Revelation chapter 4, verse 9 and following together. Whenever the living creature give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. You get the sense of humility? You see what they're doing? They're taking the crowns off of their heads. Who has a crown on his head? A king. But the king is saying, look, you take it. I am nothing. I'm down on my knees with my head to the ground. That's how we come before God. Because he is the one who saved us. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, together, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. That's the way in which he will hear, not the one who comes and says how important he is. No, President Trump says he never asks for forgiveness because he doesn't do anything wrong. What arrogance. What arrogance. Who can say that? The godliest man that we know in the scriptures is the Apostle Paul. And he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? He says, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do are things I do. He expresses that problem of sin. And daily we ask for forgiveness. That humility is important. Second, when you pray in humility, you put the honor of God first in your thoughts, not on your own honor. That's one of the struggles sometimes where we talk to pastors or members of the congregation to think somehow if the pastor prays for them, that's a little bit better. That's not true at all. Pastors' prayers don't have more power. In fact, only Christ has power. And we have to put the honor of Christ first in our lives. We must not assume to ourselves somehow we have more power. Furthermore, when we pray, we must not see God like a, the expression, the genie in the lamp or in the bottle, wherever they keep the genie, and you call the genie out when you need a favor. Sometimes that's how people treat God. Okay, I don't need God right now. Everything's going well. But when you have some trouble, then you want to say, okay, God, come out to there and help me fix my problem. That's not honoring God. That's not seeing God in his proper place. God is a God of greatness and power and majesty. And maybe you don't have any particular big needs, but you praise God. You praise God when you pray. And then you're not to tell God what he must do. God is not some small nobody who is there to do your beck and call. God is great. He's the one who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you're able to ask or think. He is the supreme majesty, and you must honor him. Look at Isaiah, what he wrote in Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 and 2 together. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. These two verses actually captures the entire second point here. One is we are to humble ourselves before God. Two, you have to see your sinfulness, and then you'll humble yourselves before God. He is the one who's high and lifted up. Heaven is his throne. The earth is just his footstool. Here you have a couple of acres of land and a nice house. You think, I'm the king of the world. I'm king of the hill or something big and important. And God's saying, that's where I rest my foot. Where do you put your foot? On the expensive things? You see in perspective who we are. When we come to God, that's why we come in a humble way. He's the ruler over all. The humble man gives glory to God. And when God answers his prayers, he goes to God and says, thank you. When you finish that university degree, you say, thank you, Father, for giving me the ability to study, for giving me what I have, rather than saying, I did this with my, people love to take credit. My own blood and my sweat and tears and whatever else they give up. Don't take credit for what God does. Three, when you pray, you may only do so through the merits and works of Jesus Christ. You see how you end up being humbled? You only can pray through the merits and works of Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as unfettered access to God. The whole world doesn't have access to God. You have access to God because you are a Christian. The emergent church is teaching that we have unfettered access to God. But sin blocks access to God. And the cost of access to God is the perfect human blood sacrifice. That's why Jesus had to die. And he was the only perfect human blood sacrifice available. And so you gain access to God through faith in his Son. There's no other way. When you hold on to Christ's sacrifice as your own, God then adopts you as his son. And he guarantees to do what is best for you. And he guarantees that you're able to come before him at any time. You know, you might have the best intention as a father, but you can't live up to those things that you may want to do. No pastor could be available anytime his member wants or give the perfect answer. No state can protect the people forever. It's only God who is able to do so. So what do you say about those who pray to God and they are very devoted? Those who pray to God every day. There are two things we know about it. Either it is an imitation, or they're praying by imitation, or they're praying by tradition. They learn to repeat, say so many Lord's Prayer, and people will say that when they go to bed at nights, and they don't even know how God becomes their Father. But they repeat them because they use it in a superstitious way. We'll touch on that in a minute. And as a Christian, Jesus then continues to be your advocate in heaven. He not only gives you access to the Father, he speaks to the Father on your behalf. So for whatever you pray that is good for you and brings glory to God, Christ advocates for that before his Father. And he says, do this for that child of mine in Scarborough. Do this for her. She really needs this. That's what the Lord Jesus does for us. And he has to do. He has to be the one to ask, because we don't have anything, any ability in ourselves. We need help. Look at the humility again in Daniel chapter 9, verses 17 and 18. Together, now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications. And for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations, and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. And how do we see the mercies of God? In the cross. In the cross. You have no merits to God except through the cross. John chapter 16, verse 23 says, together, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. That's the access. He is the way to God. We pray only through Jesus Christ. You have faith in him, you're able to pray through him. Faith is a gift from someone else, and it's a faith that he gives us. James 1, verse 5 and 6, together. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Then you show your humility in prayer and come only under the condition that God established. And what is that condition? I forgot the verse here, but Matthew chapter 6, together. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You see the kingdom work. You have to come into his kingdom. You have to submit to him, to the Lord Jesus. You come into his kingdom, you're adopted as his child, and then you can pray. One minister wrote, prayer without trust in Jesus Christ is like a soap bubble, which is little more than empty shell. It's soon broken and dissipated. For when you pray, direct your prayer to the Father, to the one greater than you. Again, this speaks of our humility before God. We're going to the Father. The source is not in ourselves. It is a perversion to pray to Mary or other dead saints. Praying to dead saints reduces the standards for prayer. And really, it is the height of madness to pray to someone who has no ability to answer a single prayer that you make. If you pray this way, if you're praying to dead people, then those prayers have no direction. That's why you pray through the Son to the Father. When you pray to dead people, it's thinking too much of man. And that's what we find in a lot of religions. Pray to this one, who will go to God for you? And you say, no. Man is not that able. Man is not that important. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 says together, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And you know your heavenly Father knows what you need. James chapter 1, verse 17 says together, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. You have your Father, he gives you what is good. Now consider how many things you need. As a final thought, what is it that really makes us humble? Because you need everything. Question 118. What did God command us to pray for together? Everything we need, spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord himself taught us. And that's why the next section goes into the Lord's Prayer. We need everything. We don't have a single thing that will add to our salvation or our sanctification or our service. You need everything around you. But the Lord is not just saying you need it, but he will give you what is good. Not just give you things. You know, sometimes somebody does have something that's not good, they give it to you, and then it's not good anymore. And you realize, oh, it's just garbage. But when God gives you something, it's good. Matthew chapter 7, verse 8 says together, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So then you ask, well, what do you need? You need things for your salvation, for your sanctification, and for your service. Need is determined as what is necessary to do what God wants you to do. That means then you don't need 3 meals a day and 2 desserts. Oh, you might think you need it. And you hear children miss meal for a few hours, I'm starving. And you realize, no, you're not starving. We don't need that. You don't need a husband or wife to be happy. You don't need large amounts of money in the bank and big RSP accounts. You don't need a 6-figure salary. Those are all graces. And why is it important to identify what need is? Because when you see how needy you are, you will humble yourself and pray to fit into God's plan rather than to fit God into your plans. I have an illustration that I found somewhere. I don't remember who gave it, but he said this. You are not to be the architect of your life, to draw plans and details and expect God to build according to your desires. No, you are to let God design and build your life to please him. You must say, God, give me what I need so I may praise your name and serve you as you desire. God, give me what I need to do good to my neighbor. So you often hear me say we are a needy bunch, because we are. We don't have the skill. But when you don't get something you pray for, you will know that that is not a need, and not at that present time. It may be a desire. And of course, God may be pleased to give you some of your desires. He is a gracious God who delights to give gifts to his children. But God is so good that he doesn't give you everything you want. Let me repeat that. God is so good that he doesn't give you everything you want. He may give you some desires, but not everything you want. That's a good God who does that. You'll hear more about that later. Let's conclude. Prayer is the breath of the Christian. If you don't pray, you are dying. Don't ignore prayer then. But your prayer, when you do make prayer, must be heartfelt, sincere. Your prayer must come also from a humble heart, one that has been regenerated, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I ask you this. First of all, how is your prayer life? Do you see how necessary it is to have a good prayer life and to be heartfelt and humble when you pray? Did these two things sink into your hearts today? Do you pray as often as you should? Do you pray as much as you should? Do you pray so that you will get what you need to do the work God has called you to do and for your neighbor's need as well? I hope you are. If you aren't, be encouraged to do so. And join your brothers and sisters in prayer at home. Join us in prayer when we gather at the church, if you're able to. Now, what happens when you don't get what you want through your prayer? Do you get angry with God? You know how much I want this new car. You know how much I want this university. You know how much I want this salary. You know how much you want this husband or wife, and you don't get it. You get angry with God. Here's the thing to remember. Prayer is about the glory of God. You notice how many times I repeated in the sermon today that prayer is about what is good for you and what is good for your neighbor in order for you to do what God wants. So prayer is about the glory of God. It's not about your personal desires. So ask God to help you more and more to die to your own desires, which the Lord may be pleased to give you some. Don't misunderstand that. But God wants you to focus on what is for his glory. Remember, you belong to him, body and soul. He wants you to be humble and serve him. And then a final word, if you're not a believer, ritualistic prayer as a form of therapy are superstitious. Say 5-hour fathers and you'll go to sleep. Say 10 Psalm 23 and you'll feel better. That's ritualistic. That's superstitious. And then what about those who seem to be very religious? Religious prayers made by people of other religions go in the air and they disappear. They don't go to heaven. They have no one to take those prayers to heaven. Prayers not offered through Christ insults the true and living God. Only if you become a child of God and are adopted because Christ took the punishment for your sins can you then pray. So if you're not a Christian, I ask you today, will you not ask God to adopt you as his child? Then you can truly pray. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your words. Thank you for a reminder of how we ought to pray, that our prayer indeed must be heartfelt and humble. And to do that, we need our lives changed. And we need a submission to you, and that we will pray for things that are good for us, that we need, rather than to be indulgent in our own desires, though you may be pleased to give us things that we ask for more than we need, yet, Father, may we focus on your glory and focus on the things we truly need to do the work you've called us to do. Hear our prayers for Jesus' sake. Amen.